Today on Real Radio.
God returned on their own heads, and on them came the curse of Jotham, the son of Jerubbaal, also goes by the name of Gideon. Jotham, the son of Gideon. And back in chapter 9, he said, if you've done good to my dad and to my brothers, then God bless you, Abimelech. Just know this, if you've done bad to my dad, then God's going to get you.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in the Old Testament book of Judges. We're in a mini-series that's taken from chapter 9. Remember, the period of the Judges is a volatile one in the history of Israel, as this section of the Old Testament illustrates. It also shows how times haven't changed as the nation continues to live under continuous threat from her neighbors. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a mini-series called Kingdoms in Conflict.
The Lamb willingly laid himself up on the cross. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Provide what? The sacrifice. What sacrifice? The sacrifice you and I need. Jesus. John the Baptist said, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all your need. Listen, we need to hear this tonight. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What is all your need? Not all your wants. My God shall supply all your wants. No. Can you imagine? We'd be a bunch of spoiled brats. We'd be down at Toys R Us right now. No, he says, my God shall supply all your needs according to the riches that are in Christ. Salvation being the number one thing, amen? Secondly, losing the kingdom, we learn this, losing the power of God. Losing the power of God. God is not involved in this situation for victory. Watch what happens. You say, yeah, but they're going to win. Ah, but wait, God is not in this for victory. Abimelech is godless. The people following him is godless. Apparently Gaal and Zebal are all godless. The people of Shechem are worshiping pagan idols. Nobody's following the Lord. They all get it in the end for not following the Lord. Verse 39, so Gaal went out, leading the men of Shechem, and fought with Abimelech. And Abimelech chased him, and Gaal fled from him, and many fell wounded to the very entrance of the gate. Then Abimelech dwelt in Arumah, and Zebal drove out Gaal and his brothers, so they would not dwell in Shechem. Verse 42, and it came about on the next day that the people went out into the field, and they told Abimelech. So he took his people and divided them into three companies and lay in wait in the field. He's going to do the same thing he did last time. It worked before. We'll do it again. And he looked, and there were the people coming out of the city, and he rose again, or against them, and attacked them. Verse 44, then Abimelech and the company that was with them rushed forward and stood at the entrance of the gate of the city. And the other two companies rushed upon all who were in the fields and killed them. So Abimelech fought against the city all that day. He took the city and killed the people who were in it, and he demolished the city and sowed it with salt. He demolished it and sowed it with salt. So he thinks he's on a roll now. Who needs God? We're winning this thing. There's been no prayer. There's been no consultation of the word of God. There's been no calling for the priest. Who needs God? We're on a roll. Everything's going great. And so, hey, you know what? Let's demolish the city and let's sow it with salt. Sowing the conquered with salt. Number one, in Israel and in the Middle East, but predominantly in Israel, when an invading army came in from other cultures, Persian, Egyptian, Assyrian, Babylonian, when they came in and they conquered a city, this is what they do to rub it in, to make it really bad. They take the city and they cover it in dirt and then they stomp it down, and that's called a tell. Like Tel Aviv. Aviv, tell, is a place where a war has taken place, a culture was conquered, they filled it in with dirt, and in that world, you either build on top of it to make a statement to the culture that you conquered, or you build around it, but it's a tell. Like Megiddo, Armageddon, Megiddo, it's actually Tel Megiddo. In Israel, when archaeologists drive around and walk around, they look for a tell of any size. It's a perfectly shaped bump. It could be huge. It could be maybe the size of this room. When they see it so perfectly covered, so perfectly arced, they start using ground-penetrating radar, and they realize this is a place to dig. There's artifacts in here. And it's amazing because you guys, any of you interested in archaeology, Shechem and these other regions, we're not reading some story here right now. This has been archaeologically proven, what we're talking about here tonight. They have dug down to the 12th and 13th century BC, and they have found these cultures. That's awesome. Don't you love your Bible? It's so great. Our faith is founded upon fact. Remember that. That's very cool. And so anyway, Abimelech's sin and its judgment is on its way, but he looks like he's on a roll. And he throws salt down there, which is another statement, like a tell. They're throwing salt, declaring, let this ground be sterile, let nothing be able to ever grow here again. We sterilized it. Today in our modern tongue, we would either, you know, like nuke it or put oil on it. You couldn't grow anything there. You pollute it. In this sense, the salt destroys the nutrients of the earth. And then look at this, verses 46 to 57, losing the kingdom, losing the protection of God. Abimelech has no protection of God, and neither does his partners. Now, when all the men of the Tower of Shechem, will you mark that, highlight that, the Tower of Shechem? That's been unearthed. That's an archaeological fact. Had heard that, they entered the stronghold of the temple of the god Bereth, or Baal Bereth. And it was told Abimelech that all the men of the Tower of Shechem were gathered together. Stop right there, very quickly. We don't have much time left. I got to go fast. The people were being attacked. Oh, no. Watch this. Oh, no. We better run for shelter. We better run for protection. Think. All the people run into the Tower of Shechem. It is the Tower of Baal Bereth. It is a worship center. By the way, archaeologically, we know it was at least 3 stories tall. It was probably greater than 50 feet tall. It was a tower. It was a big deal. Enough for 1,000 people to dwell inside of it. Big tower. The Tower at Shechem. They all go in there. What kind of a nut? You guys, if you're being attacked, would you go to my living room? Everybody in my living room. Everybody knows. Look, where are they running? They're running to that guy's living room. They see everyone that is the invading army, Abimelech and his people, they see everybody running to the tower. Why would they run to the tower? Why don't you run out to the woods and get on a donkey and take off or something? Why would you run to the tower? You want to know why? They believed that the Tower of Baal Bereth was a stronghold, safety place, that God would protect them. So they ran to it. Remember what God said through Jeremiah? Israel, you have forsaken me. You've gone nuts with all your pagan gods, and you've cut out cisterns to store water, and they're cracked. You won't even have any water because you've hewn out for yourself cisterns, water containers, and they're cracked. Why would you go into a tower that can't save you? You got the wrong God. You're going to the wrong God. Can you imagine angels watching this? Look. Oh, no. Oh, I can't even. Poor little stupid humans. Look what they do when they don't consult the Lord. They run into stupid places that will kill them. So, God was willing to protect anybody who would turn to him. And America's doing that. The world is doing that today. They run into something. This is my protection. People are saying, our leaders are saying, let's just make peace with the terrorists. Honestly, I'm dumb. You guys, I don't know how long I can take this. For someone to say that, who's a public leader of ours, to say that, they don't know one thing about the agenda of the enemy. They literally, I know that we don't believe this, America, but the enemy literally has declared war on us. But we're saying, I don't think so. What we're really saying is, I don't want this to be true. I don't want this to happen. Let's think a happy thought. Come on. Let's just... I'm serious. It's so sad. And when our leaders say, let's just make peace with them, they don't want peace. They want your head. And that's a fact. Well, these guys, they run into falsehood. In Proverbs 18:10, the Bible says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are safe. Not the tower of Baal breath. Baal breath. The tower of bad breath. Listen to this. Baal breath was the Lord of gathering, or the Lord of community, or the Lord of covenant, the Lord of agreement. His name means that he'll protect you, pagan god. It was the name of the chief god worshipped in Shechem. It was the top god. He was worshipped in Canaanite, in Philistia, and in Shechem. He was the protector of the covenant between Shechem and the neighboring Canaanite villagers. It was a covenant that they had made with this god: protect us from our radical, crazy neighbors. What's the name of your god? Baal Berith. He made a covenant with us. He's going to protect us. Now you see why they ran into the tower? We're under attack. Run into the tower. We got a covenant with this god that is not real, but... Can we put a graphic up there on the wall? This is, it's kind of hard to believe, but this is him. Don't you think this guy would look a little bit more menacing to protect you? Here's two towers. This is ancient stuff here. I hope you appreciate that. This is the priest offering, making offerings to Baal Berith, the sun, the astronomical sun here. Here is another sun that goes by this name. Listen to this. For those of you who went through the Revelation or the Babylon study with this, Baal Berith here, in this culture, but when you go back to his origin, this is none other than that other little boy. Yeah, very good. This is the other little boy who was worshipped as savior of the world, who, according to Babylonian mythology, was raised from the dead 3 days after his, or 40 days, excuse me, 40 days after his mother lamentation for him, Lent in Babylonian, lented for him to be delivered out of the hands of the underworld gods, would release, this is Babylonianism I'm telling you about right now. They released him because of his mother's, that's Semiramis, Nimrod's wife, releases this child named Tammuz. This is 5,000 plus years ago. Worshipped in every culture ever since then, all around the world. Baal Berith is this guy right here. He goes by the name, though, in the Old Testament as Tammuz. We'll see that in a moment. Verses 48 to 49, then Abimelech went up to Mount Zalmon, he and all the people who were with them, and Abimelech took an axe, and in his hand, listen, be careful, cut down a bow from the trees, or a bough from the trees, and took it and laid it on his shoulder. Then he said to them who were with them, what you've seen me do, make haste and do as I have done. Cut a bow or a bough from a tree, or make a tree a stump. And use it. Bring it with me. Come on, let's go. So each of the people likewise cut down his own bow and followed Abimelech and put them against the stronghold and set the stronghold on fire above them, so that all the people of the Tower of Shechem died, about 1,000 men and women. Why is that important? Next graphic. This is amazing. This is another piece of ancient discovery. This is the stump in that predates the story, by the way, in our book. It is believed in Babylonianism that a serpent came out of the earth and surrounded this tree and brought it back to life somewhere between the Babylonian dates that we would say today, are December 22nd to the 25th. This serpent came out of the ground, embraced this stump that was cut off. In Babylonianism, this is an evergreen tree. Never turns seasonal. It's always green. Worshipped for sexual reasons, for reproduction, always living, never dying. Very important. Do you see the palm tree back here? In other cultures, the same exact story is told of a palm tree found in antiquity. Serpent comes out of the ground, embraces the tree. According to Babylonianism, the tree began to grow. The tree was reborn. And they noticed that when the tree sprouted, after the snake embraced it, that the winter solstice began to diminish and the summer began to come on. The springtime began to come on. They said it's because of this resurrection, as it were, of this evergreen tree. In Celtic worship in Europe, it's called the Yule log. Isn't that trippy? Celebrating this new life. This is found in ancient Babylon. Watch this. The trees that he orders to be cut down, even though Abimelech is dead wrong, he's got enough of something in him to remember that, hey, let's rub this into the enemy's face. Last time we threw salt and conquered their dwellings. Let's do this with these guys. We know what they trust in. Cut down the branches of these trees and we'll burn them with the very thing that they worship. You say, well, come on, God's got to give Abimelech some credit for this. No, he doesn't repent. He does not repent. In Jeremiah 7, 18 and 19, Jeremiah 7, 18 and 19, it says that God is saying, this is what's wrong with Israel. She's in big trouble for this. The children gather wood, the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead dough to make wafers or cakes to present them to the Queen of Heaven. And they pour out drink offerings to other gods that they may provoke me to anger. Do they provoke me to anger, saith the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the shame of their own faces? The Queen of Heaven is Semiramis. It always has been. It's always been Semiramis. That's Jeremiah 7. You can read it later. Ancient scripture. Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 12 says, then the Lord said to me, that's Ezekiel, son of man, have you seen what the leaders of Israel are doing with their gods in dark rooms? They are saying, the Lord doesn't see us. He has deserted our land. Then he added, come, and I will show you greater sins than these. And he brought me into the north gate of the Lord's temple, and some women were sitting there weeping for the god Tammuz. Have you seen this? He asked. But I will show you even greater sins than these. Then he brought me to the inner court of the Lord's temple, and at the entrance between the foyer and the bronze altar, about 25 men were standing there with their backs to the Lord's temple, and they were facing eastward from Jerusalem, worshiping the sun, S-U-N. Nothing changes, huh? Verses 50 to 57, and we'll end this here. Then Abimelech went to Thebes, and he encamped against Thebes. Remember, he's on a roll. Things are really looking great. And he took that city. But there was a strong tower in that city. And all the men and women and all the people of the city fled there and shut themselves in it. Then they went up to the top of the tower. That is, the people went up to the top of the tower. Verse 52. So Abimelech came as far as the tower and fought against it. And he drew near to the door of the tower to burn it with fire. Why not? It worked last time. Problem is, God's not in this. But a certain woman dropped an upper millstone. That's a little millstone. Little, but it still weighs about 45 pounds. Dropped an upper millstone on Abimelech's head and crushed his skull. That's funny. I think it's pretty funny. Then he called quickly to the young man, his armor bearer, and said to him, draw your sword and kill me, lest men say that I was killed by a woman. So he's dying and he's so arrogant still. Not call a doctor. You know, pray for me. Maybe I should repent now. No, kill me, a woman. I don't want to have many people talk about a woman killing me. And here it is in the Bible, thousands of years later. We're all reading about it. draw your sword and kill me, lest they say this. And so the young man thrust him through, and he died. And when the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, they departed every man to his place. Thus God repaid the wickedness of Abimelech, which he had done for his father, by killing his 70 brothers. And all the evil men of Shechem, God returned on their own heads, and on them came the curse of Jotham, the son of Jerubbaal, also goes by the name of Gideon. Jotham, the son of Gideon. And back in chapter 9, he said, if you've done good to my dad and to my brothers, then God bless you, Abimelech. Just know this, if you've done bad to my dad and bad to my brethren, then God's going to get you. And then he took off running, remember? He ran away. You see, man, how long did it take? I don't know how long this took. But God's judgment and justice moves. Church, listen, Psalm 34, you don't have to write it down, just listen. Psalm 34, 21 says, evil shall slay the wicked. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. That's strong stuff, huh? You say, yeah, it is. God doesn't mess around. We may think he messes around. He doesn't mess around. God is bringing judgment and justice. Now, let's end with this here. You guys, the Bible talks about a day coming when this earth will be judged in righteousness. The beautiful thing is, for you who are believers, the Lord judged you and I at the cross. He put all of our judgment on Jesus for us. You will never be judged for the justice or injustice or judgment regarding sin. You and I may reap of sinful or, you know, godless decisions. But when it comes to God's wrath, you know how the Bible says over and over again, he will deliver you from the wrath to come? What is that wrath? Did you know that word has nothing to do with hell? Doesn't even speak about hell. The word is the wrath of God coming to the earth. You will not be involved in the wrath of God coming to the earth. Wrath was already laid out on Jesus, who took the penalty for us. That was done. Christian, you're freed from that. That's one of the great arguments, by the way, that God cannot have the church in the tribulation period, because the whole 7 years is his wrath, not just 3.5, all 7. I can prove that to you in Scripture. You will not be going through that time. You can't, because the 7 years is the wrath of God on earth. Jesus took your wrath. If you're not a Christian tonight, don't be an Abimelech, will you? Get to him now.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a mini-series called Kingdoms in Conflict. It's a look at the Old Testament book of Judges, chapter 9. We've also been telling you about Pastor Jack teaching a series currently called Life and the Bible, a collection of presentations taken from many parts of Scripture that offer up practical wisdom on not just what to believe, but how to live and deal with life situations. Some of the DVD subtitles in this series, Being a Christian at Your Job, Being a Christian in Your Relationships, Being a Christian in Your Home, well, now we're offering Being a Christian While Being a Man. Now, for a gift of any amount in support of Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's message on DVD called Being a Christian While Being a Man, part of the DVD series called Life and the Bible. Whether you call, click, or write, be sure and mention it by title, Being a Christian While Being a Man. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, you can send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And you can always visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.